So hello, everyone. My name is Christine, and I'm a mental care. And we had a conversation back in May where we discussed a little bit about current events, talked about collective personal process and planetary evolution, and some of the things we could do to help others to listen, to really take good care of ourselves in this time of dynamic change. And Scott is a dear mentor of mine, and I've been so grateful for his support of me getting in touch with my personal process and just going deeper with acknowledging truth and sometimes painful truths or things that I can feel or sense but I'm not always able to name. So I'm just really happy to be back here with you, Scott. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Christine, for having me. I enjoy our talks, and thanks for having a second one here.
Thank you. So what are some themes you've been noticing that are playing out in the world, or what are you most drawn to reflect on as you witness what's happening?
Yeah, thanks for leading me to the minefield. So it's massive and complex, and there's no doubt that this is the these are signs of the end of the 3D cycle. And I did a talk a while ago on Apocalypse and Armageddon, re-understood in the ways of a final conflict or testing between good and evil, which really means honesty versus falsity, or authenticity and truth, commitment versus self-deception or control or manipulation, deception. And the ways of love and support and kindness and care to self and other versus infringement of free will, which is control and domination. And that is occurring in the collective, the social collective, as well as the individual that's observing it all, or each one of us. To what degree, like you said, are we willing to accept bitter, uncomfortable truths? To what extent are we willing to face where we'll be? The truths or possible truths, realities that will trigger us emotionally into anger or grief or fear. The willingness to see clearly. And that's all associated with apocalypse, which is, Armageddon as the conflict. Apocalypse as revelation. And so there's a huge amount of revealing. Certainly lots of deception. We can see lies and deception more clearly. We can see the intentions of leadership and the common ways of the masses. Oh, now we have a big rain starting here, interestingly. Grounding the message to the earth, or love offering from the skies. I think rain is quite holy. So we have massive conflict outwardly or in the social collective. We have real moral testing for the individual. We have increasing revelation of the hidden for the self in partnerships or relationship, in family, in the social collective as well. As Ross said, it's a massive opportunity for both positive and negative polarization, and very much associated with signs of the end of the cycle. But this is not dimensional shift. This is, I think, in some ways, the final testing of humanity before the three-way split, as Ross said, at harvest or dimensional shift. Some souls will graduate the kingdom of heaven on earth, what I talked about in my presentations about the meek inheriting the earth, from the Greek word praus, meaning a well-tamed war horse, a strong but tamed and disciplined person, where the individual faces a massive challenge to its own moral commitments. Which, what do we really believe in? And how much are we willing to walk our talk or live in harmony with our principles? And so there's a lot of distress, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of fear. The future is very uncertain. this great reset that the World Economic Forum talks about very openly, it seems to be just right at the beginning, and it looks a lot like, you know, Agenda 2030 and all things like that. And people can study and ought to look into it. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll go back to the old normal. I think we're in a new normal. It's very much like World War III, where there's this, you know, elite against the people. And then one must be spiritually strong. And then there's all sorts of real concerns about the future and threats to freedom in all sorts of in nations east and west. So it's a very difficult time, and I think that it's well understood as a final massive testing of the collective humanity before the dimensional shift. Although I'm not saying dimensional shift is 2 or 5 or 10 years away. I just don't know. But it's a critical time. It's a sign of the end of the cycle, and there's great revelation and great moral challenge to the individual.
So one of the things that's happening here and in many places is the mandatory masking, like in all indoor public spaces. And I was just wondering if you'd be able to speak on just some of the implications of having our nose and mouth covered, like just not being able to see the facial expressions or read those cues. Like just what are some of the effects mentally, emotionally of that?
Yeah.
Being a practice.
Well, from my understanding of metaphysical anatomy, as I had a talk with Ken Bach on this long ago, which is on my YouTube channel and some other place on YouTube, the 7 chakras can be seen on the face. Chin, 1, mouth, 2, nose, 3, eyes, 4, ears, 5, 5th chakra resonant. So chin, mouth, nose, eyes, ears, as resonant with the first 5 chakras. Being in the head, they're of, I would say, 5th chakra subplanes, moving up to 6th chakra center of the forehead. And so, chin 5.1, mouth 5.2, nose 5.3, eyes dual, open or closed, 5.4, ears dual, always open. Meaning not voluntarily closable in the same way eyes are, 5.5, and that's the difference between wisdom and love, and then 6th chakra as the middle of the forehead, Ajna chakra. So masking is covering 5.2.5.3. 5.2.5.3 is basically the wisdom basis of, you can say, enlightened communication and right anchoring in the social interpersonal, third chakra nose. The mouth is dual. We take in physical food nutriment and express mind through speech, through the mouth. The nose has a certain duality fixed similarly to the ears. That's the resonance of the 1-3-5-7 chakra line. So nose 3, ears 5, 5.3, 5.5. Similarity in the anatomy. Nose is where we take in breath, prana, through breath in the air. Covering mouth, covering nose is akin to a symbolic self-blocking of 5.2.5.3. That ultimately leads to greater anonymity, a confused selfhood, or more confusion or less wisdom accessing into the sense of self, second chakra, 5.2. Damage in communication and understanding because of the barrier. the blockage in the nose, of course, there's all sorts of oxygen depletion issues and all sorts of dynamics about that. I believe that medically, masks are not meant to be worn, you know, indefinitely, but rather, you know, like surgical procedures and things like that, or when somebody's spitting out stuff and that. So the usage doesn't seem to be scientifically proven even this way. But it limits the capacity to anchor the body in the physical dimension by way of inspiration or breath, respiration, inhalation. So inhalation and inspiration, both, right? Because the inhalation is breathing in the air. The inspiration is breathing in spirit or the prana that's carried by the air, right? There's vayu and prana, Sanskrit, vayu, air, wind. Prana is the energy, like chi or ki, Japanese, Chinese, Japanese, meaning intelligent energy, raw material, or spirit, or life force. So there's a blocking of reception of life force. There's a blocking of normal inhalation, oxygenating the blood in the body, and damage to physical living by way of diminished inhalation, oxygenation. And then, of course, it's a muzzling of communication in some way, or can be seen that way. So the more you understand 5-2 and 5-3, which is basically the wisdom input to second and third chakras. So you got to understand the raw material. Does extensive and yoga systems also extensive teaching on the meaning of the seven chakras. And so if you know what the second and the third chakras are all about, very much selfhood, personalized selfhood to emotional water, and interpersonality, relationality, relationship in group life, and intellect, three, the fifth chakra subplanes, 5-2, 5-3, is the wisdom addition to second and third chakra, is the wise usage or wise development of second, third, wisdom added in. And those are blocked. And, it's a real shame. Humanity, in a sense, they don't know what hit them, and they've been blindsided. In many ways, Earth humanity, has been apathetic for millennia to self-correction. If you don't care about self-correction, which is self-improvement, but there's, mercy and justice, right? Mercy 4, justice 5. Mercy is about love, a love-leading approach, and justice is akin to a wisdom-leading approach. Self-correction is justice, making oneself just and true and right. Not Justin, but just and true. don't confuse me here. And justice and mercy both must be applied to self and all understanding. And so I want to be sweet and kind to myself, and I don't want to give myself a hard time, but I want to call a spade a spade. And when I'm wrong, I want to know it. And I'm okay with healthy regret and remorse, or even healthy guilt and shame, so long as I don't get attached to it and don't get stuck in it. And humanity as a whole, Ra's analysis that most of humanity is 3D repeating and will be for a long time, or at least will not graduate the cycle, I think is very accurate. And some people have their head in the sand, and some people are going along, and some people are supporting it, and some people are, fighting back and resisting tyranny. And It's a big challenge for the collective, but the masking obviously has symbolic self-restrictive meanings, and it affects body and mind. And, it depends on the person, right? Some people will go into a psychotic attack, will be triggered to a psychotic episode by prolonged self-masking. Other people will have no such problem at all, right? So yeah. That's the point. It's somewhat dramatic, actually, the action, although it seems kind of simple.
And what would you say in looking at different cultures? Because some are more like collectivist in nature, and some more individualistic. I've been noticing like a lot of difference in the response, depending on whether people have been taught or trained to prioritize the well-being of the group, or have been conditioned to really emphasize individual and personal success and achievement.
Right.
So what would you say, like, in terms of different cultural responses just to what's happening? What have you been noticing?
Well, I live in Taiwan, and Taiwan, as an East Asian nation, is a collectivist Chinese satellite culture country. Meaning it's Chinese culture. That doesn't mean governmental structure. That means cynic, S-I-N-I-C, cynic culture from the last 5,000 years. and they're very collectivist, and they like wearing masks, commonly. I mean, you know, they did virtue signaling before the term was invented. And but for them, it you know, they sort of, they're okay with it for several reasons. One is they do want to demonstrate that they care about others, and that's valued, and they feel better. Some people, subconsciously, I'm presuming, feel good that they're doing that for others and are seen to be doing it for others. But it's not as heavy-handed. It's not an aggressive virtue signaling. It's actually just following the sense that they, believing what they've been told, which is also a collectivist trait, doing that which they feel protects others. Secondly, they're kind of shy. You know, collectivist cultures commonly devalue somewhat the individual. And the individual finds value by their role in supporting and furthering the aims of the collective. And that may, that commonly is a less aggressive, more gentle or shy personality. They may be very smart. They may have all sorts of deep inner process, but they keep it inside. And it's a little protective, emotionally protective. That's how it looks to me. People would wear it on their motorbike, not because they think that there's virus in the air, because they're protecting the mouth and the nose from air coming at the nose, at the mouth and the air, mouth and the nose. That's all. They feel a little sensitive. They are kind of sensitive. And so some part of it is they feel safe. There's, I presume, this is just my assumption, and even if one person said it or 50, it wouldn't mean everyone, but that there's some kind of emotional self-protection in it, and a rightful basis in Chinese medicine that you don't want, you know, air flying into your nose and mouth while you're riding a bike on the highway. So it's a complicated thing, but they certainly don't feel it an infringement of their freedom or human rights in the same way as it's commonly felt in the West. But the governments are different too, you say. So the tyranny is not, the governments and tyranny and freedom, it's conceived a little bit differently and expressed differently. It's all very, that's very, you know, sort of cross-cultural, historical, symbolic sociology, you know, that how the individual is seen in the collective culture and how government is given authority and legitimized or delegitimized, that kind of thing. It's just different than the West, where human rights and individualism are well appreciated or deeply valued.
Yeah, and what's your sense of who will fare best during these times, or who will do what qualities? Well, maybe looking especially at those polarizing towards the positive path, or those kind of in the middle that are maybe leaning towards positive polarization, like what qualities or characteristics can people either acknowledge within themselves or further develop in themselves that will help them during these times?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I say that you need to have a strong gut and a big heart and a clear head. A strong gut to accept, to face and feel ugly dynamics, the dynamics of increasingly ugly global culture. And a big heart to accept all that needs to be accepted, that it is what it is. I am what I am, I feel what I feel, it is what it is, it will be as it will be, or it's becoming as it is becoming, and it's horrible, or it's scary, or it's confusing, or unclear, and that's the way it is. And the clear mind is to discern and comprehend just what it is that's happening, and the bigger, the various levels of significance, right? There's personal, and then there's the collective social, then there's the planetary, then there's the metaphysical. And the metaphysical is very subtle. So strong gut, big heart, clear head to make peace with this or deal with this is needed. And a lot of flexibility. We really, unfortunately, it's a massive shattering armor, massive collective civilizational armor shattering like I wrote in my book Universal Vision about armor shattering. And basically, it becomes clear to me recently that pain, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, all forms of dukkha, stress, meaning particularly loss and shock and hopelessness or the feeling of trapped or limited options, all forms of pain and physical illness or injury are interruptive to the continuance of the way, the default conditions of mind, particularly body and lifestyle also, but particularly mind. Meaning, we can't continue as we've been in the face of this harsh catalyst of the global process and where it seems to be going. And I'm not saying one should not fight it, oppose it, resist it, do whatever you feel you got to do. But whatever you do, we need to accept that it's significantly out of our control. And it's a planetary process, and we're going to have to we can't keep looking backwards to the way things have been and simply wish to live in the past or live in the way it was. I mean, I think we all do somewhat, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not a cheerleader for what's going on at all. I don't like it a lot, and yet we have to follow the bouncing ball and not get stuck on the lyrics that have already passed. And that doesn't mean accept tyranny. It doesn't really mean that. It just means be able to keep your cash clear. Clear your cash regularly. C-A-C-H-E, like with a computer. Clear your temporary files regularly. And because there's a lot of stuff changing and a lot of shocking catalysts or surprising events that are happening and will keep happening. And we have to make sure we don't get stuck. And that might mean disengaging from reading and listening for a while and then coming back. Certainly regular meditation and prayer, praying to deity, to God, to higher self, to angelics, asking for help for the self and for the collective is very, very important. And meditation and sleep and eating well and taking a break from watching what's going on. All of this is very important. So I would say, I would just advise that. How's that?
Yeah, that's great. And one other thing I just wanted to ask about, I mean, it's a bit linked to the masking, but just the kind of, for people to see each other as being potentially sick or potentially right. carrying something, like, what are the implications of that just for,
right.
like, or will we, how long will we be able to kind of recover from, like, how deep this seems to be going in a lot of people's psyches? In terms of fear of the other or getting sick or
yeah.
the idea that anyone could be sick, like just what that leads to.
Yeah, the consequences are quite deleterious and harmful and bad, as you're suggesting. I mean, the basic idea is being taught to consider that I am a virus and you are a virus and you are infectious and I am infectious. I am infection. Not I am legend, but I am infection. Or you are infection. This kind of is a very sick belief and self, you know, fulfilling prophecy kind of thing. People can get themselves sick by their thinking. People can destroy relationships by that thinking. People have to think clearly. This is why I'm saying a clear head and a big heart. If you treat somebody that way or see yourself that way, you will have further distorted consequences coming from that. The relationship quality will deteriorate. One will feel very isolated. One will may fall into a depression. There may be generated self-hatred, a lot of fear, panic, paranoia, avoidance, and people, again, could go into a psychotic episode by that kind of thing, by that kind of thinking. People, when they recognize that that's what seems to be happening in my mind, or in, that's what where you seem to be coming from in a relationship with the other, wisely acknowledge it or recognize it, and perhaps, you know, talk about it to the other person. Like, do you think that I'm just a walking infection? Or what am I thinking about myself? Is that what I think? And I think that it's a little bit resonant with the basis by which people take the teaching of original sin in certain Christian groups. They it feels right to some people to think, yes, I am a sinner. That's truly what my nature is. I'm a basic worm and a sinner. I'm evil. This is obviously self-punishment and a kind of self-loathing. It ultimately comes out of karmic guilt as well, a sense that I actually missed a lot of opportunities to grow, and I actually haven't made much of my life, or I really am not well developed. Subconsciously, that maybe would be known. And the person... Ay, ay, ay. Can you hold... Let's mute here, okay? And I'll be right back, okay?
Sure.
Okay. So, I just was wondering, Christine, what's happening with your clients, or what are you seeing with people?
Well, I mean, I think everyone is responding a bit differently to this. A lot of my clients that are in Alberta, and today there was an announcement of the ban on social gathering, and so not allowed to gather with members outside your household. They're even going to implement it at restaurants. They're going to check only people of your household that you're eating with. So I would say there's some angst. One of my clients tonight acknowledged he's feeling really angry, and especially for people who live alone. Like, I'm thinking of one of my clients who lives alone, and she desires to, say, have a new relationship, and she's been working for years on developing herself to heal from past relationships so she can enter a new one, and this just really seems to prevent that possibility. So I think there's just a lot of sense of feeling really prevented and blocked just from getting to participate, getting to initiate anything new. You know, I have other clients that host events and they do in-person gatherings, and that's what they love and that's what they're good at. And with this set of restrictions, it's just like everything's on pause. So there's just so much unknown. So I would say the common feelings are angst, a bit of confusion, sense of distrust in authority, or just other people kind of all of a sudden taking over responsibility for our lives. I think that brings up a lot. And the clients that I've spoken to, just that sense of, say, them typically being the ones to, you know, choose their work, you know, line up their work, follow through, do the good job, and just, more people in, I would call that individualistic mindset of just really building a life, helping people, supporting. So I work with a lot of people in who have similar work to mine, but others who especially host events. And so there's just this sense of, what do we do here? How do we work with this? How do we navigate this? And it's just such a dramatic change to have this level of government and public health officials coming in and just in a day saying, tonight at midnight, as of tonight at midnight, no more indoor yoga, no more this, no more that. And so it's just really shocking. So I would say, if anything, I've been assisting people just process shock, a sense of unknown, sense of, I've done so much personal work and I'm ready for a relationship, and now I feel prevented from even meeting anyone, you know, and it's just so restricted. So there is a feeling of kind of encroaching darkness, and people feeling like, where do I go from here? What can we do?
Right. Yeah, well, all those are very reasonable and honest, truth-based responses to what's gone on, which is kind of a a robbery of personal autonomy. Personal autonomy has been stolen, and you know people are being told for the greater good, you must interrupt 95% of your personal life, everything outside your home, and I think it's a time when the people who've had the greatest plans are going to be suffering the most, who have the greatest reasonable, even, you know, very fair and love-based desires to do good and help the world and be connected and make things happen, are everyone's being prevented from that. And people have got to search their soul as to find their own answers to whatever the questions are. Like, how long will this go on? We don't know. What if this goes on over the next 6 months? People will need to search their heart and talk with friends and family and look deeply as to, well, what will my life be like if this goes on in some way for six more months or another few years? Or what about mandatory vaccination? Or what about all of this interruption of my life? What can't be changed can only be accepted. And yet we can't say we know what can't be changed. We have to make some effort to try to change, however people feel it's best. It's a little bit like being put into jail and open-air prison. And I don't have any great advice other than try to answer your questions and stay open-heart with the people near you and try to talk things through so one can move out of confusion faster than one can move out of enslavement. You know, you can change the mind more readily than you can change body situations, physical situation, in certain ways, given the countries and the dictates from government now. But I think people have got to be true to themselves, whatever that means. And how I approach it and how you approach it is just learning to be best for ourselves, and each person has got to find their own best ways of handling this, answering questions and dealing with the emotional process particularly, you know.
Yeah. One can and I love what you said about just, you know, trusting the gut, or developing that, you know, gut and the big heart and the clear mind, and knowing when to step away, or and really that practice of meditation and prayer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a friend of mine, who astrologer named Rick Rydell, really nice guy in Sedona, said many years ago, a Hopi saying of the end times, that during the end times, better not look outside your window. And I'm not saying that people should not look outside their window. What I'm saying is that sometimes we need to shut the curtains and not look outside the window, and take time away from the outer to go deep within, however one can do that. And that could be sleep, or meditation, or watching a funny movie, or music, or playing instrument, or doing something creative, or yoga, or anything. But in some ways, I would say this is probably the most difficult time for civilization since the fall of Atlantis. And for those who know about cosmic metaphysics from the raw material, I call this Orion's last stand in the solar system, and reprise of the Martians repeat, the Martian ending version 2. So there's some very big planetary or multi-dimensional solar systemic dynamics, cycle turnings, and long-term agenda dynamics in play to the current process now.
Yeah, so sometimes just acknowledging how big this is, how multifaceted, multi-layered, complex it is, can in some ways validate our deep feelings, or just how many different ways we can feel in the current times.
Right. Right. It also means that it's okay to be confused, and it's okay that we really can't figure out anything fully, and there'll be a lot of things going on that we just don't understand, and we have to accept that we can't understand it. I mean, I might make effort. I'm not saying don't make effort. Make effort. And in the end, there are going to be a lot of things that, I mean, there's certainly a lot of things going on that I say, I don't know. Is he lying? Are they lying? Have they all been lying? Are they lying about lying? It's a very crazy kind of thing. I mean, humanity, Ra talked about the paucity of honesty, the poverty of honesty of Earth humanity, and the vast sinkhole of indifference, and the depths of distortions. So this is a very, before the war, it was already a rotten piece. And now we have the war. But the peace was rotten before. And that's part of the apocalypse or revelation of the hidden that is associated with these end times. So it's okay to be however we are, and yet we need much self-comfort and self-inquiry and self-trust to answer questions as much as we can, and accept when we can't fully answer and are left unknowing a lot of stuff, and do what we think is best. And there'll be a lot of hard decisions to make, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate this time with you and everything you've spoken to, and I just appreciate you and all the great work you've done and what you've assisted me with, just to develop in love wisdom, to come into deeper self-trust, to meet that grief and despair within and helplessness and those deep layers that sometimes are hard to reach on our own.
So
I hope everyone listening can find ways to connect with those who can help or listen or just be there. So we acknowledge some of these trends to, quote, socially distance, and I guess we can each become curious about how we can choose differently or choose from the big heart and the gut and the clear mind the best way forward and meet these decisions and, encourage the right use of catalyst and all of that. So I appreciate this talk, and I hope that those listening receive some benefit, and I just hope we can all step into prayer and meditation and find our way and just acknowledge the immensity of these times and do our best.
I would just say that self-trust and faith in oneself, being good to oneself, trusting that there's great power within and wisdom and the ability to heal and comfort. Those with greater self-trust and self-faith will be able to navigate this storm better. And houses divided will fall. And so we need to really deeply know what it means to take good care of self. And believe in yourself. Believe in your true self. Like that. And when there's a distortion or confusion and misunderstanding, to admit it. But that's not the true self. Those are obscurations or distortions of true self in mind. And so find who you really are. And that'll help with this process. Okay.
Thank you for those words, and I appreciate everyone who's listened to this interview, and perhaps we'll meet again sometime in the coming months and review the developments. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you too.
And for those listening, I'll put links below to Scott's YouTube channel and his website.
Okay. So, thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.